Well, Mr. Vincent, we're very happy to be speaking to you. Maybe we can start with your op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, where you call for this one strike and you're out policy for players using performance-enhancing drugs. Maybe you can explain why that makes sense to you.
Well, the performance-enhancing drug problem is, it seems to me, an existential problem. It threatens, that is, performance-enhancing drugs are threatening all of competitive sports. And we've seen it affect the Tour de France. We've seen it affect a number of other, the Olympics, a number of other major sporting events. And so we know that there are chemists out there designing and coming up with drugs that will enhance performance. Many of them are illegal under the federal statutes. But those drugs are malignancies. They are into the system and they are lethal. If we don't do something, all of sports is threatened because, as I said in the Wall Street Journal essay, Bart Giamatti, the former president of Yale, my friend and baseball commissioner, used to preach that games are all about rules. Without a set of rules, there can't be any games. It's the game rules that says, the rules that say it's a 100-yard dash, that say there are 9 innings in the game, prescribe the size of the ball, the size of the plate, the distance between the bases. And without those rules, you can't have a fair competition. People will have freedom without the rules to have bigger gloves and tinker with the bats and balls and do all sorts of things that would undermine the game. And as I said in the essay, if you permit cheating, you will have, in no time, professional wrestling or entertainment. You'll have a movie or some other form of entertainment, but you won't have competitive athletics because you need rules and fair competition to determine a winner, and we all are into sports because we enjoy the competition and we enjoy rooting for the winners. So I view it as a very serious, it being the infusion of performance-enhancing drugs, is a very pernicious and frightening threat to all of our sports, whether high school, college, or professional.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned that, you know, cork bats, also, you know, using spitballs or Vaseline on baseballs. There's always been ways that baseball players have been trying to gain a competitive advantage. Is this more insidious? Is this more damaging to the sport because it actually affects, like, the body of the athlete?
Well, I think all cheating is dangerous and pernicious. I think one of the problems with sports, and especially with baseball, is we've sort of smiled at spitball, tinkering with bats. I mean, those seem to us to be innocent, many of us, innocent forms of cheating. But it's like saying we're going to permit a little cheating on your income tax. I mean, if you cheat, you cheat. And I think this kind of performance-enhancing drugs is a major form of cheating. It's also illegal. I mean, it's violative of the Prohibited Substance Act, the federal statute, that says you can't be using these drugs without a prescription. You can't be selling them in any event. And I think one of the problems with baseball has been that we've been too tolerant of those what we call innocent forms of cheating. There's no such thing as innocent cheating.
But now you have a situation here, a very sophisticated form of cheating, and trying to find it and stamp it out is proving to be very, very challenging.
Yes, and it turns out that the testing program in baseball and all the programs that they've got in other sports just aren't working. And you see in football now, almost every day, one or two players are suspended for 4 games, which is their first round of sanctions. And my view is that there's one sanction in sports that works, and that's the sanction of being thrown out. And it's the sanction that applies in gambling and baseball. If you touch the third rail of gambling and baseball, as Pete Rose did, you're out for life. And even if you're a major figure, as he was, you don't come back. That deterrent means there's no gambling in baseball. Nobody goes near that issue, because whether you're young or old or rich or poor, you know that the minute you touch it, you'll get caught, and B, you're out. And so what I'm arguing is that baseball will have to revise its collective bargaining agreement. I think, by the way, they will. I think the players have come around to the point of view that they believe that something has to be done, and I think they're going to encourage the union and the commissioner to adopt a harsher set of sanctions, because a 50-game suspension and some sort of fine, those aren't working. These players... I mean, the tragedy of yesterday's announcement is a very great percentage of the players seem to me to be Latino kids, many of them from the Dominican. I mean, that sanction is not effective, because the players are thinking to themselves, okay, if I get caught, it's 50 games. What's the big deal? That's about a third of a season. Meanwhile, if I can bulk up or perform better, it's worth to me millions and millions of dollars in a contract, and I might never get caught. So they're onto it, and they're doing it in big numbers, and it is really a serious threat.
Now, the conversation the last couple of days has been about these particular players and their infraction. I mean, do the fans have more responsibility here? Do the teams have more responsibility to try to, you know, to demand a little more accountability here?
Well, I think this was the mistake, I think, that was made yesterday. Yesterday would have been a great opportunity for the commissioner, I think, of my friend Bart Giamatti, the professor from Yale, who was such a great public spokesperson. Had Bart Giamatti been commissioner, he would have stood up and used yesterday as a teaching experience. He would have explained to the public and to the fans why this is a very serious problem, and why the commissioner has to do what he's doing. But he put out a press release, which was pretty vapid and not very powerful at all. And I think there's a lot of confusion. I think a number of baseball writers and fans are saying, what do we care if they drink booze, if they drink Coca-Cola, if they smoke cigarettes, if they take whatever they want to do that makes them play better, let them do it. Why are we bothering and interfering? All that matters is the game on the field. Now, that attitude is widespread, but it's particularly untutored, because it ignores the whole problem of trying to maintain the, excuse the phrase, integrity of the game. There is no sensitivity on the part of many fans that this is really at the heart of the game.
Now, you talked about a teaching moment, perhaps, that might have been missed over the last couple of days. You also, your piece in the Wall Street Journal talks about moral leadership. I mean, that's something that's not talked about a lot in the world of sports, but it sounds like something that might be needed right now.
Well, that's right. Some things are wrong, even if they're legal. Now, using steroids and selling them and getting involved in the distribution is illegal. But I ended the piece with that sort of whack at the moral relativity that's going on. I think in our society, there's almost no sensitivity or recognition that some things are wrong, even if they are legal. And in the case of steroids, I'm not arguing they're legal. The use of them is not legal. But I think this confusion about right and wrong starts in the political world, this enormous confusion about what's wrong for a politician. If they do things that are particularly egregious, even vulgar, certainly morally offensive, the argument is, leave them alone, let them do whatever they want to do, because it doesn't affect their job. But that sort of confusion obfuscates the fact that there are some things that are just wrong. And cheating on a game, even if you're not going to be arrested for it, is simply wrong.
It's worth quoting the line that you referenced there, is, it may seem odd to contend in a world often saturated by moral relativism that there is such a thing as an immoral act, but cheating at games, whether it be cycling, baseball, football, or track and field, is wrong, and we'd better begin to say so. So that's right. What you called for.
That's right.
Now, I wonder, I mean, have we reached a moment? Is this any kind of a turning point where you have the actions that are happening in baseball? You have the, you know, the light that was shined on Lance Armstrong last year. Do you think that maybe the sports are finally realizing this is a real problem?
I don't think so. I think to do that would be a function of hard work and lots of leadership, and I don't think there's any leadership out there likely to take those issues on, to spend the time. I think because many of our leaders just don't think it's worth the candle. Why bother with it? I mean, it's like all the politicians that knew it was wrong not to fund the pension plans for all these workers. But if you did so, you had a heck of a job selling it. You would have had to do a variety of things like raise taxes. And so everybody just let the problem slide by. Now, everyone's worried about the workers. Well, it was the leaders. It was the people who ignored the duty to fund these pension plans who really have undercut the pension programs for millions of Americans. And, you know, who's going to pay the price? The workers, not the leaders.
Well, you've mentioned before that perhaps, at least in baseball, the players' union might actually recognize this as a problem and start pushing for some reform. So at least perhaps that's a positive here?
Well, you know, you would expect with this kind of problem threatening all of competitive sports that there'd be some political leaders, some people standing up, some people in the sport. There'd be a mounting effort to do something about it. But I don't see any effort. I mean, there's talk, but nobody really wants to take the strong step. And it would not be popular to say we're going to throw out Rodriguez because lots of people are fans of his. It happens to be the right thing to do. I think if I had been commissioner, I would have thrown him out for life and said, we're not going to have any more of this. And if some arbitrator reinstates him, okay. But meanwhile, I made my point.
Well, Faye Vincent, thank you so much for helping us understand this complicated issue at this time when it's very much in the public sphere. So we'll keep paying attention. Hopefully, maybe there'll be some progress.
Thank you. Bye-bye.